Hello, and welcome back to the Star Family Wisdom Podcast. Today's episode is a follow-up with Jehan Satur. We had a conversation a few months ago and talked a lot about mindset and transformation related to the way our mind is programmed and self-sabotage and how we can get in our own way sometimes and how our highest destiny, our highest good is there, but there's the ego, there's the programming, there's the distortion that's keeping us from reaching that place sometimes. So Jehan Satur specializes in supporting people in that mindset journey, in finding peace, reprogramming their minds for success. And when we finished that conversation, we wanted to go further on some of the topics related to his awakening, some of his past life memory activations, some of his star family connection, because we did not get into that in the first episode. So we're back with another one, and something pretty extraordinary happened right after we stopped recording. So we're probably going to do another conversation to talk about that, because this synchronicity was maybe one of the more extraordinary ones I've experienced, and I've experienced a lot at this point. So for those who've been following along, you know I've been going deep in Jesus's spiritual technologies and exploring those, engaging those, utilizing these ancient mantra systems for the purpose of enlightenment, for the purpose of turning on more supernatural abilities, if that is in the cards in this lifetime. And in this process is also about deepening our connection with the Divine Mother of creation. So, you know, we can think of God as the Divine Mother and Divine Father, and that source energy is both the mother and father energy. And the mother is particularly responsible for miracles and helping us connect with our highest levels of divinity. Well, at the end of this conversation, you know, Jehan doesn't know a ton about what I've been doing. He knows a little bit. And we stop recording. He says, "Hey, I have three friends who want to meet you." And I'm like, "Okay." I'm like, "Do you have roommates that I don't know about?" And he turns around and he comes back with three white doves. And for a moment, I was stunned. Like, one, why do you have doves in your room? Two, excuse me? Like, this is some major, major symbolism of the Holy Spirit, of the Divine Mother. This is also symbolism related to ancient Greece and the prophetesses, the oracles at Delphi and Dodona. Last year, I accessed some past life memories of ancient Greece and participating in divine birth practices and processes back then. And the three white doves are depicted on coins from ancient Greece and represent the three priestesses who served at the oracle. So all of a sudden, Jehan and I are like, what's going on here? You know, because we talked a lot about some of his own quote unquote supernatural abilities that have started to come online in his lifetime and how different past lives may play into that. We've talked about some of the parallels with some of my experiences, and it felt like we were receiving some major confirmation of the path that we're on. And Yeah, when he brought the doves out, he was like, "What do you think they mean? Because they've just been showing up. Like one day this baby dove showed up, and then two more showed up, and they're just so tame, so peaceful, so at home with him. It's just the most incredible thing." So we don't talk about that in this conversation, but I wanted you to know about it because these are the sorts of synchronicities and moments of guidance that we get that can be on this other level, and we're just now like unpacking, what this means. So more to come on that. Enjoy today's conversation. We get into a lot of past life things. We had a request for that recently, so this should fulfill that request. And you can find Jehan's information below in the show notes if you feel called to book a session with him or follow his podcast, the Boundless Authenticity Podcast. And don't forget to leave a comment, subscribe, so you don't miss any of our videos that are coming out. And I'll see you on the other side. Jehan, you are back for round two.
Yeah, you got me back for a second round. You're lucky.
I'm so honored and excited. We had a really good first chat, and we probably could have kept going for like two more hours because there's just so much to talk about. We talked about mindset and self-sabotage mostly, I think, in the first episode we did together. We talked about your journey of, going deep into the darkness and meeting that and what that was like. But you also have this awesome, like, metaphysical, multidimensional part of you, and you've had some star family connection. You've been starting to like venture more and more into the world of ET connection, ET contact, all of that sort of stuff. So we were like just about to go there, and then we were like, we need to stop. No one's gonna watch 4 hours worth of a podcast.
Yeah, we are a dangerous pair when it comes to two microphones. I really cannot remember the last thing I was saying.
I
So I
remember.
guess that's up to you.
I remember. We left off, I think I remember. We left off with me asking about the beings who showed up for you. So when you were in that really dark moment and you were at that point of thinking about ending life on Earth, you had some help show up. And I wanted to know more about that. Like, if you've been able to perceive who they were, where that was coming from, have you reconnected with that intelligence that came through to help you? Like, maybe let's kind of pick up there and then we'll get into some other things.
Right. So I do remember you asked me that question, and I sprained my brain for a while after that, trying to just put myself back into that headspace and see what I could remember. And what's coming up for me is that that was the one time deal, but it was both my grandparents. Yeah, it was both my grandparents, and had just enough mojo to come through and tip the scale for me and push me back into my body.
I just got
Because that,
chills.
yeah, because both of them, they still do things for me, even in the present. When I was first entering into that metaphysical space and using certain techniques to solve my problems, to keep it short, I had an incident where I was upstairs in the house meditating, and I wanted to know who were my guardian angels, who's looking out for me. And I found out that my grandfather was one of them. And then there was a vision of like a red rose, and behind the red rose, it just kind of it did like this, and it moved, and I could see my grandmother looking at me.
Oh.
And I was dealing with a lot of stuff to do with them too, because they died at integral parts of my life. My grandmother died when I was 8, and that hit me pretty hard. My grandfather died when I was 17, and for all intents and purposes, he was the man that raised me. My father was never really useful in that sense. So everything that I learned about life, I picked it up from my grandfather. So anyways, I was meditating upstairs. I asked those questions, and I asked, well, is my grandfather still around? Like, are any of them on the other side? Have they reincarnated? Things like that. I walked down the stairs, and we used to have a TV on in the living room that would always have this background of these bluebells, a field of bluebells. And there would be like new agey type music playing. And as soon as I came down the stairs, the song changed. And the name of the artist was George Winston. That's my grandfather's name. Right?
Oh,
Yeah. So that was a hard yes
yep.
from that one, right? I still, till this moment, I don't know if they are reincarnated or where they are, but I do sense that that energy comes around to help me with a lot of different things. So yeah, that's the short version of that story.
You know what's really incredible about what you talked about, among many things. For listeners who've been following along on recent episodes, since I kind of took a pause from podcasting for a little bit to go down a, a new path of personal exploration, I've shared what that, how that path started. And it started with a series of synchronicities related to a dream I had as a child. And the recurring dream I had as a child was of a red rose in space. And I'm gonna throw this out and see if this resonates with you. Right after I got regressed last year and went back to that dream and figured out like that was not just a dream, like that was a that was symbology, that was a screen memory, it was like multiple things wrapped up in one. I had a series of synchronicities happen that told me the red rose was related to the star system my soul is from. So right after that regression, I turned on a podcast and Robert Edward Grant was talking about the Aldebaran star system being known as the Red Rose Star.
That's interesting. I do sense a connection to that star system as well. But I also have to say to you that when I first met you, I knew that we were connected in that way. And you and I are just like a couple months apart as well. We were both born right before the harmonic convergence. You realize that, right?
Oh, I didn't
So,
realize you're the same age. I just got huge chills. Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
wow. I've thought about
Yeah.
that. At some point this last year, I actually thought about that because something came across my path about the harmonic convergence and the energies around that time. And I was thinking, like, I wonder if there was any significance to my soul choosing that portal to come in on. I don't know.
Yep. Yeah. So there's a lot of us knocking around out there. Yeah,
Visitors on Earth.
it's like find the others, as they say. So,
Yeah. Oh my goodness. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's the, some of those like symbols that come to us in visions. Like I'm just now like really realizing how multi-layered, multi-dimensional, they are for us. And like peeling back those layers is so incredible. And you had this early experience of kind of the metaphysical, multidimensional aspect of our reality showing up for you. how did it start to show up for you more after that? Like, what were some of your first big experiences that really made you like have those sorts of aha moments, like the hard yes on the synchronicities and the metaphysical things?
You know what? I just remember always being different. And I was sort of thrust into this body, one life after the next. There was no rest in between. We can get to that in a second. I don't know if you know the story, if I told it last time or not, but I'll get to that. It was the one where my first word was cat. Did I tell you that story?
I think
about that past life.
I think you might have. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I come screaming into this body, like, what the heck just happened? Why am I back here? And I remember a lot of my dreams as a child were actually replaying past lives and stuff like that. So from the time I could then develop language and stuff, I started communicating with my mom, not my dad, because you couldn't tell him anything about that. He would run away screaming. He's very afraid of that kind of stuff for some reason. And she would have to silence me a lot because we used to have a painting on the wall in our living room of these boats on the ocean. And they had a clock in the top left-hand corner. And I would gaze at this clock for hours every day. And one day my mom asked me, what are you seeing there? What are you gazing at? And I would look at her like, you don't see it? You don't see the man standing right there in the clock? And she was like, no. And I would have experiences like that where I would just see things clear as day. People walking around, I could tell you what they were wearing, all kinds of things like that. So you're talking about 3, 4, 5, 6, nothing but experiences like that. I even had one that was very profound where I became very hyper aware of the self that exists, that part of you that looks out from behind your nose. And the instant I had that, I remember being outside on the lawn and being surrounded by hundreds of dragonflies. Hundreds. So it's not, it's not something that just happens to every kid. You might get one or two bugs land on you or something.
Yeah.
But there was the whole body sensation, and it felt like at that moment I was being downloaded with information. And I credit experiences like that to being mostly homeschooled up until I was about 7 or 8 years old.
That makes sense. That probably helped. Yeah, because you were just, you just weren't as exposed to all the programming that a kid would get exposed to in big groups or at kindergarten or those sorts of settings. You were more open. So that makes sense. Did you have imaginary friends? Like, did you have those sorts of interactions?
I never had imaginary friends. I never did. I always kind of felt like I was communicated to through dreams. And I would not remember my dreams often, but I would wake up just knowing different things. My parents would ask me stuff about, how do you know this? And I'd be like, I just kind of know.
That's interesting. I had some interesting experiences like that as a kid. Like, my mom talks about these times in the car before I was able to read, but it appeared as though I was reading like billboards and street signs and stuff. So I was either just claircognizantly picking up on it, or I think I was maybe like reading minds. I was having some sort of telepathic connection with the other people who were in the car. They were reading the signs and I was just picking up on it from the field.
Yeah, that resonates with me as well. I went through a phase where I could tell what people were thinking, and it isn't like an auditory response in the way that I would hear the sound of my voice thinking inside my head and speaking. It would be like, it's almost there, like almost about to say something, but the mouth never opens, but I still understand anyway what's going on in that person's head.
Yeah.
And it bothered me a lot when I was a kid too, because there was no completion involved. And like I said, where a mouth would open, you'd see the mouth moving, you would hear the words. There was that part was lacking, and that would confuse me. And I think that actually served to scare me away from it because it seemed bizarre. Like I tried to rationalize too much and I got
Yeah.
freaked out, right?
Well, it makes sense. We don't get raised in environments for the most part that teach us to explore those sorts of things, or even teach us that that's possible, So it's like if we don't have anyone, coaching us along or helping us know that that's possible, explore that, lean into that, like, yeah, it just causes distortion, for us in a way.
Yeah, and I think my connection to my grandmother is very special as well because before I was born, my mom was riding a bicycle outside and she was a big tomboy. And my grandmother asked her, "Why are you outside riding that bicycle?" And she was like, "Because I can." And she was like, "No, you shouldn't do that. You have something in there." And she's like, "What?" And she looks down and points at her belly. She says, "You have somebody in there." So
Oh,
she was able to tell those kinds of things. My
cool.
grandmother actually, at 60 years old, this is a very cool thing to me. She moved away to New York to pursue her dream of being a caregiver for babies.
Oh,
So, yeah. So she always kind of had a connection with things like that. Very psychic connection. I would go to visit her in Hempstead as a little boy, and she would have all these books by Edgar Cayce and things like that on the bookshelf. And so I think that she was very psychic, and she just me and her just had this connection.
that's super cool. I my grandma and I have an interesting psychic connection too. It's the grandma on my father's side, and I know she's one of my guides. She's come through pretty strongly like that for a long time. So another parallel. How did this evolve for you as you got into like adolescence and early adulthood? Did you just kind of put this all to the side and do life and then let it reemerge, like, or did it just naturally continue to evolve?
Yeah, so it actually became something that caused me a lot of suffering for lack of understanding for, I guess, the larger part of my teenage years into my adulthood because it was something that never really went away. As much as I tried to stuff it down, it wouldn't go away. First, if I'm remembering correctly, I passed through a phase when I was about 8, turning 9 years old, where all I wanted to do was read and draw. And I would read the works of C.S. Lewis, Robert Louis Stevenson, all of these things that Ernest Hemingway, all these different things that would be a little bit more adult. And what I realized was going on was I was reliving memories of a time where I actually existed. And so I was remembering those books because all those books seemed familiar to me. And I just couldn't get enough. Like all I wanted to read were those kinds of things from those periods. And I moved past that phase into another phase where I swore that I was an inventor. So I would do strange things like make these contraptions with whatever I could find, whether it was like glass bottles and toothpicks and like make cars and different devices and try to recreate like things that looked like appliances and stuff like that. So I think I passed through that phase as well, where I was remembering another past life as an inventor. And I think I told you going along with stuff that happened to me later on, I actually saw myself wearing a particular outfit that I actually wore on television for PBS for a performance years later when I was a kid. And I drew it out and everything. I had so much audacity. I drew a picture of myself wearing this exact outfit with one leg up on the coffee table, watching myself on TV. Right? So I knew the things that would happen in the future to a certain extent. And all that time, recurring dreams about an ET craft coming down above my house and taking me up into the ship would happen.
What age
And I
was
remember,
that?
oh, that was happening from age 3 all the way up until about age 12. That continued. And then it
So,
stopped.
Jehan, the recurring dream of the Red Rose was definitely happening with between the years of 3 and 4 for me, maybe into 5. A lot of my childhood I don't have memories of, like it's fuzzy. That's very distinct that that dream was over and over and over and over during those years.
I have to say that, because I'm trying to fill in the gaps as I go along, but I have to say this without getting too far ahead of myself, that once I re-engaged and got onto the spiritual path around age 25, those dreams started coming back.
Ah,
And,
interesting.
right?
Were they different when they started coming back, or is it the same?
Exactly the same. Exactly the same. And there was always this really loving presence. It felt like I was in a room with family. And what would happen is that there would be things that would happen in the dream, and I would always miss that content. And even when I go back into it as a person that can regress themselves, it's difficult for me to see the in-between contents of that. It always takes me to this scene where they're showing me the earth. And it's almost like there's that hand on my shoulder reassuring me. It just always goes to that, and I have no idea. It's driving me crazy.
Have you, did you see the episode I posted? This was last year of my regression with Barbara Lamb.
No, I have not.
Okay, I'm gonna send you a link. You need to watch that. Most of it's audio, because I put the just the audio of the regression on there. It's intense. Because I'm reliving this dream. Like she took me back to the first night the dream happened, and it's intense. I won't get into all of it here because most of the folks watching have probably heard some of it or heard me talk about it, but go watch that and see if that triggers anything else for you. Because what you're describing is very similar to what I re-experienced in the regression. Just I
Really?
experienced a lot more detail. Like I experienced them here on Earth with me visiting. And then I also experienced myself on the ship in 2 different time frames.
Let me ask you a question about that. Do you ever think that them, quote unquote, manifest as other people just for a time to do things for you?
Ooh, good question. Okay, well that's a lot to unpack in one question because I guess I should state that my personal opinion, which I feel like is truth, is that an ET soul or a soul in general, who is operating in some of these advanced civilizations, they've gotten to the point where they could consciously choose to exit a body for a period of time and step down to a slightly lower dimension, come into a body, and then go back to that other body. And I say that because that's what I learned about myself. Like my soul didn't come straight from the spiritual realm, like normal, you know. This is kind of like a double incarnation, I think. Like to the best of my ability, that's what I've been
Mean
able
like
to
a
gather.
bifurcation of consciousness, like
Kind
you're
of.
here, like you're here, but somewhere else as well.
Well, so that's where we get into the like whole simultaneous, life thing, which I believe is true too, but I think we have something else slightly different going on here. I think this one timeline I'm in this body, or this one version of myself that I'm in this body, is like a continuation of a different life. So It's like I was an ET, I was a mantis being, living my life in that civilization. There was a call that went out to Earth, it went out to all the civilizations. Any souls who can go incarnate on Earth, we need that to happen. Well, rather than waiting until I died in that body and went back to the spiritual realm and then decided to incarnate in a body on Earth, we put my body in like a stasis pod, like in Avatar. So it's like the body exists, but I have to finish this series of Earth incarnations. Once this series of incarnations is complete, which I believe is finishing now because we're at this like completion of eras, we're at this changing of eras, which is a time of karmic completion. When I die in this body, I'm just going to continue on in the physical realms, but going back to that other body. And then when I die from that body, I go back to the spiritual realm, I think.
Right. That's so interesting you say that, because that's reminding me of how do I describe that? An incident that happened to me in meditation a couple years ago, where, long story short, it was like, you've got to do this, and this, and then you can choose to just hang around, or you can go, like an exit point almost. Mm-hmm. And I actually think that the whole thing, you know, where I said I attempted suicide and stuff, I think that was me trying to get off on an exit point. And that wasn't really the best choice, so that's why it played out the way that it did. But I've always kind of felt like this incarnation, I didn't have as much stuff to do as other people. Yeah. I felt like I came in primed and ready to go from the other life before that body even died. Yeah. My soul just came into this one, and now I've done pretty much everything that I was supposed to do, except for a few key things that are spread out over periods of years.
Yeah, that's how I feel in a lot of ways. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it makes sense. You know, if you are a soul that has, you know, progressed in your life experiences to the point where you've gone into some of these more advanced civilizations, like your soul is holding a vast amount of information. And so it might make sense that you retain more of that when you come into a body. Yeah. So you're like, some of the like cities, you know, and psychic abilities and things are just a little more turned on already. Like I experienced that at Whole Foods in the first part of my mission. You know, I was unconscious of it for the most part, but I just knew how to do things. Like I just knew how to lead people. There was just this intuition that would come through that I was just oblivious to, but it helped. It's like my soul just knew how to navigate life in certain ways.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. So yeah, I think this is like maybe an interesting look at the incarnation process. And I've actually had multiple people feed that back to me without me even divulging that publicly at first. Like people started saying, you seem like you might be one of those souls that has left an ET body and just come into this body or into multiple bodies on Earth for a while. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's what I'm picking up on at this point through all of my, you know, work to explore this. And you know, I should also just share for anyone who isn't that familiar with my path that, you know, I'm not just like sitting in meditation and hoping something comes to me. You know, I'm not exploring these things in a flippant way at all. Like I've gone really deep in my shamanic training to be able to do shamanic journeys without medicine, with medicine too, if you want to do it that way, but to be able to regress myself, to be able to see into past lives, to be able to activate, you know, these telepathic connections in ways that have, you know, revealed more information. So, you know, when some of this was first being revealed because of the human life I had led up until the point it started to be revealed, there was a part of me that was like, absolutely not, like no way, you know, like it was coming through and it was like, it was pretty clear, but there was part of me that was like majorly resistant to it. Like, how could this be happening? Like, no, not me.
Not again. Yeah, me and my girlfriend, we joke about this a lot. We often say that we feel like we're 800 years old and everybody else is just like a toddler.
That's
and
funny.
It can be very, very frustrating because I guess when an emotion happens, you're getting what, 1400 plus biochemical things going on inside your body. And a lot of the information that goes along with this experience is not stuff that you can process so readily. So it can actually be quite a very painful experience if you don't know how to put a cap on that.
Yeah, and it takes a long time to integrate and to allow like pieces of these experiences and information to all click together in a way where it's like, ah, okay, now I have the full picture of who I am, what I've done, why I've done certain things in past lives, why there's this ET connection. It's like, it takes a while for that whole picture to come into focus, I guess.
Yeah. So let me get back to filling the gaps then and answer that question for you. So my spiritual awakening, I guess, was a lifelong thing in very small increments. But the real shocker happened after that suicide attempt and leading into around age 25, after that all happened and I was trying to make sense of my life. And that was when books would start showing up, like books by Sylvia Brown, Wayne Dyer. My first mentor was actually a lady called Tina Gili. She's passed away now. She was a bodybuilder, owned a gym, and she was one of the first people that came along and gave me a helping hand and, you know, kind of schooled me on mindset and things like that and put me on to a lot of different authors and things. And it was through reading that I really started to remember a lot more things, but also tie in all of the experiences, because that entire time I struggled with being able to see beings, especially beings from the lower astral plane and stuff like that. It's just like they were everywhere. And living in Barbados is not easy when it comes to things like that, because Barbados actually lies on a psychic hotspot where there's a lot of that stuff. And within the collective consciousness, we have slavery. There's actually something called the Barbados Slave Code that was the manuscript for how slavery was done across the globe. So we have a rich culture of things like that. And I would have experiences as a kid where I'd be on the beach just as the sun was setting and I would see slaves in groups walking around, and they would just look like, I guess because boats would get off there and drop them off and stuff like that. So I would be seeing energy patterns replaying. Essentially, like a little movie clip, I'd see things like that, or I'd go out there late at night sometimes. If I wanted to fish or just go for a walk or something around 9-10 at night, and I would see like African people doing dances and stuff, and like groups of people, I mean, at other times would be eating food, and they would be eating from like a calabash bowl and things like that, you know, eating with their fingers and things like that. It was like going into a time machine at times, except there was that separateness that would be very confusing because I could see it right in front of me. So into my late teens, more things like that started happening. One time I was driving and I heard the sound of chains dragging in the road, and I started to begin to panic a little bit because it got louder and louder and louder. And then these coffins appeared in front of me on the road. I actually swerved to get away from it.
Oh, wow.
And when I looked in the rearview mirror, they were gone. And I was like, wow, I almost crashed. What was that? But there was a sense of things like, I need to get away from here. Something really bad happened here some time ago. And I was in such a state of fear that I could actually see what had happened cycling over in my mind's eye as I was
Wow.
speeding to drive away. And it was hard to manage that happening at the same time and get out of there,
I bet,
right?
yeah.
So things like that would just happen all the time. And I had a hard time dealing with it because I felt like I couldn't reach out to anyone and
Yeah.
say anything. It was hard enough. Growing up in a slightly narcissistic culture where everyone's best interest was of their own and not anything that was going on with you. You couldn't reach out and tell anybody anything about how you felt. You're gonna get over it, you know, or you're too sensitive or whatever is the case, right? It was like, yeah, I am too sensitive. That's what I'm trying
Right, I need
to
help.
tell you. Yeah.
I'm seeing dead people.
Yeah, see, things like that would happen. Beings would
Wow.
follow me home. I'd have to do battle with them on my own.
Wow. Well, and that's intense stuff. You know, it's like I've had experiences with negative entities, negative beings. I've kind of developed a specialty for helping people with that. And even when like you're a person that can help them, it's intense energy to like stand up against and to be in, like to be connected to that, to have that in your field or even, you know, surrounding your field. It's like heavy and it like it creates distortion, you know, for you. It's like it's not pleasant stuff. And to be dealing with that at a young age, wow.
Yeah, see, I'm accustomed to it now, thank God.
Yeah, I'm sure you find that when you work with clients. Like, do you help with entity removal sometimes when you work with clients?
I try to stay away from that as much as possible because a lot of the people that come to me are they're very rigid and they're not ready for that,
That makes sense.
especially in cases where it's intrusive thoughts, because you know, wherever there are intrusive thoughts, there's entities knocking around. And a lot of them, they're barely able to handle what's going on in their mental environment, let alone I tell them, oh, you've got entity attachments and
Yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
So I can't scare them. And that's fine.
Well, and from my
It's,
I
no, I
was
was going to say
gonna
it's good because sometimes I'll see that they have entity attachments and I'll just do a prayer. I'll just send them into the light, and let it be what it is, and I won't tell them anything. And a lot of times things will clear up and clear a pathway for them to kind of break through on their own. And then others have some really nasty ones that they're not going, and they'll get mad because I tried to send them into the light, and others will show up
Yeah.
and they want to mess with me, but they can't mess with me because I, at this point, I've developed my energy to the point where I can just put my hand up and then go. But that's another past life thing that came to me as well too, because in that lifetime I told you about where I died in the quicksand, that was my special ability. I could put my hand out and freeze them or hurt them, kill them, do different things, pick them up, throw them away very far away, dematerialize them, things like that. That
Nice.
was one of my special abilities. And sure, this sounds like some crazy talk to people that are new to this, but that's one of those things. So I've been able to recapture that ability, and I actually got attacked 3 years ago by some beings that they were very tall, and the way that they moved was like jelly, like just moving across the floor, not like the blob or anything like that. I don't know where they came from, but I was standing on my porch because I felt something eerie was going on. My dogs were going crazy, and they hit me with a really big ball of energy. And I know how to let it pass through me, absorb it, and not send it back, but just kind of like ground it so that it goes into the earth. And when I did that, the being stopped. And suddenly there was like a huge respect for me. Like, who are you? How do you do that? You're not a regular human, are you? And it was like a telepathic communication. And I said, maybe not. You should go. And then it actually cleared the air for it to communicate to me that it came to that space because it's looking for its child. It was lost somewhere. And I knew intuitively to point towards the beach and say, you should look that way. I think something went that way earlier because my dogs were.
Oh, wow.
It was like, and I thought to myself, you have all this power, but you can't find your child. Some of you guys are just as human as anybody else.
Totally. That's what I've learned. It's like, they get lost. It's like
they're fallible too. Yeah.
There's a confusion, you know, that starts to set in, you know, where there's like this lack of knowing that it's safe and desirable to go back to the other side, to continue on their journey. It's an attachment thing. You know, we talk about the negative attachments, you know, with people who have the entities, same thing. The entities have some sort of negative attachment to something here on earth, which is keeping them here. So yeah, the best thing we can do is help them know it's safe to continue on their journey and that they'll receive the healing and support they need on the other side. There's really, nothing to be fearful of. And one just tip for the audience, for anyone listening to this, who's like, okay, whoa, hold on. Now we're talking about negative entities. We are held in safe space here. This is always a safe space. And one thing I would invite you to do is a meditation where you invite a pyramid of light around your energy field, that you bring white light down from source, from the great central sun, bringing that into your energy field, creating a pyramid, creating the walls of the pyramid, creating the base of the pyramid. Invite golden light into the pyramid. Golden light is the light of grace. White is the light of truth and protection. Create a golden column of light going all the way down to Mother Earth's crystalline core, anchoring you, grounding your energy. And just invite that light to continue to stream into that pyramid that surrounds your energy field, and allow that golden light to dissipate and dissolve any heavy, dense energies that may be existing in your energy field, allowing those to drop away. And then you can also ask that this pyramid maintain high levels of divine protection around you, and that any negative energies or entities that come close to this pyramid are immediately healed by this light. So I hope that gives those who are watching just a little extra tool to use for your protection, to feel good, you know, during these sorts of conversations, or anytime, you know, anytime you feel like you need that extra boost of energetic protection.
I smiled because that reminds me a bit of a meditation that I do almost every day. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. It's
beautiful. You can invite your non-physical team as well to help you, right? To help create protection around your field. Remember too, that, you know, we don't receive the help if we don't ask for it. You know, it's like we have free will here. So sometimes we forget, you know, we forget to ask all of the light beings, the luminous beings in spirit, to come and support us and create fields of protection around us. So be, you know, be overt about that, you know, be really intentional about that, put out that call for help so that you receive it from the highest vibrational beings of love, light, and wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Jehan, we'll get back to you now. So you've talked about a couple of instances where you remembered past lives or had these like past life activations coming through, and you can, you know, perceive, you know, historical energy, you know, in the field. You know, what was, I guess, your first experience of recalling in detail a past life and really understanding how that connected to this life, and how did it help you in this life? Like, what was the, I guess, benefit or purpose of even being able to access that past life?
Would have to be one where my mom was my sister in a past life. And you're not really sure what time period it was from. I want to say early 1800s, just based on what we were wearing. And I was really mean to her in that lifetime. And I fell and broke my neck, fell off of a horse, broke my neck, died in that lifetime. So there are instances where we don't always get along in this lifetime. When I say instances, a lot of instances where we don't get along. It's been a lifelong thing. We just don't see eye to eye. She's the kind of person where if I say A, she has to say B, and much, much more on top of that. But I'm not going to get into that because that will sound a lot like to other people like I'm bad talking my mother. So I'm not. That's just the relationship. And I realized that that was a big factor in that, in karma. And when once I went through that and I realized that's what was going on, it kind of eased off. It's like something completely changed.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's beautiful to hear the energetic shift that came with your perception shift, like just by bringing that understanding, that awareness of the past life into your conscious awareness, just boom, created a shift. May not be the ultimate shift you want, but it's a shift, which is awesome.
The best way to describe it for those that haven't experienced it is that imagine if your experiences with someone that have caused you to create resentment and conflict and anger and those things, what if those emotions could just magically go away in the snap of a finger because you brought that into conscious awareness? So suddenly you understood why. It's almost like somebody took an eraser to the board on the timeline and just erased that from, yeah, not from complete existence, but erased all the energy of it. And your relationship with someone changed as a result of that for the better. And then there was another time as well around things to do with her that a friend of mine from India actually helped me with. It was physical energy that she helped me to move that was on my left side that had a lot to do with soul fragments that I needed to reclaim for myself. And it was related to that same lifetime. So sometimes things have multiple issues that go along.
Wow, that's a really good example. That's cool. I want to go back to the dream of the UFO over your house, or the ship over your house. What more have you explored regarding that? And where is your, I guess, awareness related to ETs going? How is that evolving in your life right now?
Okay, let me start by answering that first. It's evolving because I'm able to more readily process and integrate that aspect of myself into my daily life. And not from a place of separateness where, I'm a star seed now, I'm a different, different being than you, not like that, but just realizing that, yeah, we all have this connection and they're trying to talk to us all the time. And a lot of it is through dreams. And a lot of the contact that I make is through dreams. Best example would be right before the pandemic, they came along and they were trying to tell me, get out of America and get to somewhere that's going to be safe for you. And so I came back home. And they showed me people locked inside their houses, people who were terrified. In some instances, people were like trying to get out of the windows, and there were soldiers in the street and things like that. It's an over dramatization, but what was going on is that I could see the sky above me, and I could see the ships in the sky, I could see the crafts in the sky. And what they also taught me through that experience is that I could look for them in my waking consciousness. And they taught me how to see them in the clouds and things like that. So I know that, through that experience, that sometimes if I'm looking in the clouds and I can see like It's usually very translucent. It's never like a solid object like people would think, because we get programmed with that from the movies, right? It's not like that. And sometimes you'll see a cloud that doesn't look very much like a cloud, and it'll have a particular light spectrum that goes along with it. And if you are in tune with yourself, you can pick up on it, and you can kind of get it. You get a full body sensation that you know that that's what's going on. It's almost like there's a telepathic connection between you and that thing. You don't always know what's said though, but you do act upon the information that you get. So they
We have
tip
a
me
lot of
off on a
those
lot of things.
in Sedona here. If you're tuned in, like you'll see fleets, in the sky.
Very rarely do I see anything in the sky in terms of a physical craft moving, you know?
I've only seen that once, twice.
I've seen it once where I was just I took my dog outside. There was time distortion and everything that I experienced, and it was like 20 minutes past, but realistically it was as long as it took for my dog to pee that it happened. And the dog was completely unaware. Time, like I said, stopped around me. I was the only person experiencing it, and I saw a white craft shoot up out of the ocean, and it had a very bright light, and it was scanning the ocean. It was doing a show for me to let me know that I see you there. Do you see me? And then as soon as I acknowledged that I saw it, it just turned, made an abrupt turn at a ridiculous angle that doesn't exist in human physics, and then it disappeared. And you could see it actually burst across the thread
Amazing.
and disappear. Yeah, so that was the
Amazing.
only time I've ever really seen anything like that. I suspect any other crafts that I have seen were man-made. They looked too sharp and rigid around the edges.
That's an interesting way to think about it. There's a rigidity about human design right now in our technology and stuff that would not be there necessarily with some advanced civilizations. Interesting. What do you think our past life connection is? Have you gotten any hits on that?
I haven't a clue. I just know that I know you from somewhere, even if it's just the fact that we are part of the same group.
Would you be open to me exploring that in a meditation someday if I'm in right if it's the right moment,
Yeah, why not?
always curious, it's always so enlightening, when you do find those figure out what those connections are, it creates that like light bulb moment of, oh, okay, yeah, now I remember why this is happening, or now I remember why, we were connecting on that topic or whatever.
We don't run into people for no reason anyways.
For the most part, most of my past life exploration over the last couple of years was going really deep in karmic situations because of the path I was on to heal it all, clear the trauma, un uncover, as much of it as I could. It was just this like intense barrage of meeting people and situations that were just super karmic and difficult. And so I spent a lot of time exploring, and shamanic journeys and that sort of thing, like, okay, what's going on here? Why is this, emotion coming up with this person? Why is this energy here? Where did this stem from? Like, how do I clear this? Now I'm excited about the fact that I'm having more connections that are, they're just evolving in more of a destiny kind of direction, and in a less negative karma direction.
Yeah, the difficult people in the conflict stage was the hardest one to pass through.
It's like, and you don't see it coming sometimes. Like, how did that show up for you? Like, what was that like when you first went through some of your big like karmic stuff to deal with?
Honestly, it feels like that was a decade in the making. Like I just had to pass through this very long, arduous cycle of dealing with people. And I think it finally actually cleared for me around 2019, 2020, maybe.
Okay,
Yeah, like it was
cool.
going on for a long time. I feel like it was going on from about 2012 until 2019.
Okay, so
Yeah.
that makes sense. That kind of aligns for me with the Whole Foods part of my journey, during that time frame. Even though it wasn't like a lot of really intense situations all at once, it was stretched out, over that time period. Then there was like a little reprieve. Then there was like a year and a half, 2 years of just, one after another, just like karma whack-a-mole. You're just like, oh, here's another karmic situation. Oh no, here's another one.
Yeah,
You
karma
just
whack-a-mole is a
like.
great way of putting it, actually. Yeah, and I'm relieved. I don't run into any more people that I feel like I have to resolve anything with. It's mostly smooth sailing.
Oh, that makes me feel so good. That makes me feel like I've gotten to the other, mostly the other side of it.
Yeah, I think that's what's going on. Because during that time as well, everything happened so quickly, and it was like you were getting downloads and all these different things, and you're like, okay, you need to stay away from these things that you used to really love doing, and you gotta replace these habits with these ones because these will really help you enhance your psychic ability, and blah 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 blah. You're not a regular human, blah blah blah, and you're like, what? And you're just like, eyeballs are rolling back in your head, like, what? This is too much. But it wasn't too much. It's absolutely just the right amount that I could handle, I guess, in the end. And all these people that you think are creating conflict in your life, you realize that you did them dirty in another lifetime, possibly, and things like that. And it's like, oh man, turn
Totally,
it
totally.
off.
I know, it's like heal it, heal it, heal it. I don't want to experience it anymore. Yeah, oh my gosh. Here's a fun one. I lost a bunch of money, like a lot of money. And when this happened, of course, one, it's like triggering fears. Two, it's stuff around abundance to work through, all that sort of stuff. But also, I had a past life as a leader in Europe, where I did not do right by people. And like I hoarded money, and I like taxed people when I should not have. I created financial hardship for other people so I could live a certain way. And I had to confront that, and like
Yeah.
realize my soul had some dirt on it.
I had same experience. I robbed people and stuff in past lives, and I was very rich in a past life, and by nefarious means. And same thing happened to me. I lost all my money right at the beginning of my spiritual awakening. I had $0. I had just enough to get on
The
a plane.
irony,
Yep. Just enough to get on a plane and survive off of some, cheap items from the supermarket for years.
Oh
You
my
know,
God.
I was sleeping on the floor
Wow.
on somebody's, I guess, somebody's ex-wife's vomit, actually. Like
Oh
she
wow.
was a drunk, and she would just throw up, and there was wine stains everywhere. And
Oh no. Oh wow, you really did
yeah.
have to pay for that one.
Yep, I had to sleep on a yoga mat for like a year before somebody actually came along, and they were like, "Hey, do you need a bed for any reason?" And I was like, "Yeah," and yeah, been through it. And
Wow.
then magically at the end of that phase, $20,000 just appeared out of nowhere. They were like, "Hey, you want a check for $20,000? Here you go."
You
It was like,
paid your debt, you're good to
yeah.
go.
Yeah, it was really, really strange. But yeah, it's just like there's no explanation for that except for I had to go through it, and then whatever I needed for the next phase was given to me as like a, I don't want to say a loan from the universe, but here's some credit, and you can, move on to your next phase now. Just don't make that mistake again.
It's how it works. It's wild.
Yep.
It's wild. Say, yeah, really similar happened to me, although I did not have to sleep on a gross yoga mat. I have actually in India multiple times now, but yeah, a little different, but similar in a lot of ways, where it was like, oh, okay, great. I've got this nice cushion from my corporate job. I've been good. I've saved money. I can embark on this, spiritual journey. I can have some freedom to start a business. Whomp. Nope. You're gonna face your fears and you're gonna do that with less money now.
Yeah. Yikes.
Universe does not play around, y'all.
When it's time for you better embrace it and just get on with it, because there's not going to be any getting out of it.
Just go into it, go through it.
Find one of
Experience.
us that can help you.
Yeah, and acknowledge it, and like do your work to, what is that? Pay your penance, I guess,
Yeah.
like acknowledge that what's going on and that you're willing to experience something different, to pay your dues. Yeah.
Yeah. And following on with the past lives thing, I still experience both the ET contact and past lives in my dreams. And sometimes it can be overwhelming because I don't want to wake up in the middle of the night and write stuff down. I want to experience it in its fullness and then just wake up the next morning and be, just sit on the edge of the bed and be like, wow, what was that?
Yeah.
And try to make sense of it that way.
What was
So a lot of stuff's going on.
one of the most exciting ones recently?
Lately, a lot of people have been chasing me.
Oh,
Like, I've
interesting.
been in a lot of adventures where I'm trying to get away from some threat. And it's not the typical turn and face it type solution. It's where I'm on another planet, reliving this experience. And I'm trying to remember the specific, because I wasn't sure what planet it was, but the sky was like a dark green color, and I wasn't sure if it was nighttime or not. But I was in some kind of a vehicle that was not a car, and it was not a ground vehicle. And I was trying to get a bunch of people to get in it, and we were moving away. I can see it in my mind's eye right now. We were trying to move away from that area because there was people chasing us, and there was about to be some kind of catastrophe.
Oh,
Some
wow.
kind of weapon was about to be fired off. So I am not certain what my involvement was with that, because I remember I woke up feeling like the depth of the state that I was in, it caused me to miss the details. Like, I just kind of went too deep into sleep or something, and I missed the resolution of that dream. When I
Wow.
woke up thinking about it, like, that was very real, and that was, it seemed the space that I was in seemed very familiar.
Wow.
So, some kind of interplanetary adventure, I wouldn't be so silly as to jump to secret space program, like anything like that. I wouldn't do that.
Know what that sounds like to me? I know multiple people in my field who have had some sort of past life connection with planets that have been destroyed.
Right.
And that's what it feels like to me, is that you were a part of one of those civilizations, because a lot of people who were part of those events would be here going through this karmic cleanup, this karmic completion cycle, and facing that sort of stuff.
That makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, Marduk, is one that like people talk about a lot.
Right.
It's the one that would be local to us. In our solar system. Who knows?
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, it could be. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun to speculate. I think it's always good to just like take what resonates, integrate it, but also like not try to make huge stories out of it. You know, like it's so easy to get hung up on, well, now I want to know all the details and now I want to know this. Like I went through that phase. Have you gone through that phase?
I went through that phase too. I was very eager. But sometimes when you speculate and you just let it rest, synchronicities will happen that confirm eventually. And maybe a couple of months later, I'll be like, oh, shoot. Yeah, that yeah. was it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Just totally. Gotta let life fill in the gaps.
I love that. That's a good quote. Let life fill in the gaps.
You heard it here first.
Quote of the year.
Yeah.
Jehan, before we wrap up, you're planning on a fun series of podcast interviews in the later part of this year. I'd love for you to share what you've got cooking and where people can find you and why they should tune in.
Right. So I've actually already started them. I'm very excited. And Neil kind of sparked my enthusiasm because he was like, I need to talk to you about disclosure. I was like, oh, yeah, let's do that immediately or sooner. So we started unpacking the current events with the UFO things that are happening right now. And I'll be talking with Neil and Alan Steinfeld again in August about the topic is who are the star people? And I want to have a series of people come on, including you, to talk about what you know about star seeds and introduce people, because a lot of my listenership is beginners. They're just waking up and they're finding out all of this stuff. And on Boundless Authenticity, we are trimming the fat on all topics, consciousness and spirituality. We're not doing the false light narratives or any of that stuff that is getting people trapped. We are myth busting and getting straight to the meat of the matter. This is what's going on. This is what you need to know. Here's the cliff notes. We're catching you up so you can live your best life right now and not have to go through a painful awakening like all of us. You can just get there as quickly as you can. So I've already had Rebecca Hardcastle Wright come on to talk about exoconsciousness, life on other planets, and how we're connected to that. And I want to have her back on. And so I'm going to be dealing with things like that, topics like that. I want to have someone come on that can tell me about the different beings and how we're connected to those things. So I'm working on it.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. I think that's such a good, I guess, direction to go for now. Like it feels like it's time, you know, it's time for yeah. everyone who's like just cracking open the door to be given like the encyclopedia, you know. It's like, okay, we don't have time to waste, you know, you've got to get up to speed now. So I'm so glad you're doing this. And I also have time.
We don't. They're ready to show themselves, because yeah. we need them right now. Like we've got to do it, because it seems like, I don't want to phrase this in a negative way or get anybody thinking in a negative way, but the darker forces are getting the upper hand and they want control over how we wake up. And that's not fair. That's just not fair. Like, we can't let that happen. We can't just let people succumb to what's going on in TV land, you know, because that's not real life. Right. And that's what I'm seeing playing out in my personal reality right now. I see a lot of good people that are like, they're stuck on their death rectangle like this all day long. And whatever's going on inside there, it's preventing them from reaching who they should be, or they're living in the false narratives. And I don't think that saying that somebody's going to win or getting involved in talk like good versus evil is necessary. It's just that something's going on from that end. And in order for us to elevate our consciousness, we have to move beyond that and take people's focus away from that and away from the system that they've implemented, because we're there right now. You know? We really are right there. It's not like some people I laugh at this idea that some people are going to move on and there's going to be a split timeline. And I don't know if any of that's true. True. I think we're all right where we need to be.
I think
So
that I talked about
just
that with Eric Rankin recently, you know, this idea of the rapture or like the split timeline thing or whatever. And that starts to get into us versus them. You know, it's a very idealistic way of viewing how life plays out. And my personal opinion is that, you know, evolution is a much slower process than we humans want to acknowledge or live through. And we want the quick fix, we want the immediate resolution, we always have. And even for people who are awake, it's still easy to get caught in that loop, you know, of there's going to be an immediate event that, you know, happens and changes everything. And yeah, there could be something that happens, but for the most part, we're just on the path of evolving to a better place. And we're just going to have to deal with the consequences of our actions until we get to that place. And yeah, it's like I don't want to dwell on the negative, but I want to highlight what, you know, programming exists and ways in which, you know, we very quickly, you know, get into distorted consciousness or get closed off from what, you know, would be truth. And yeah, we have to be super discerning, you know, at this point, and then do the work to share stories of, you know, people who are in service to harmony, in service to restoring balance on the planet, who are in service to truth, but not fear-mongering, you know.
And there's no them. That's just my opinion on it. There's no them. There's just us and what we allow. And the time has
It's
come for us
humans.
to
It's like,
not allow
yeah,
that.
it's easy. It's easy to get into this dark forces thing. It's like, yeah, there's a negative distortion that has happened on Earth. There's negativity and deep distortion that has taken over certain humans who have perpetuated corruption, who are all about power and money. Like, we know that to be true. And yeah, it's like that has happened, you know? So we've just got to put all of our efforts behind something different.
It's exactly it. So they're ready to talk to us because more of us are waking up and more of us are stepping into this idea that we're multidimensional. And they're like, okay, well, now we can open the lines of communication and it's going to happen much faster. That's why I also think that we are seeing in the mainstream news and stuff, they're talking. Granted, it's rather derogatory. You're talking about aliens and from that way of doing things, the same fear thing. But that's good. That's really good because either way, it's happening.
It's opening the topic, you know, for us to talk about, which is exciting. Yeah, for those who haven't checked out recent episodes, check out Jehan's talk with Neil. It was really awesome. And they get into all of this, like that whole topic on disclosure and how the distortion around false narratives and media and all that kind of developed. And I thought Neil did a really good job of walking people through that. So that's always helpful context to have. And for those who don't have your information, we're putting it in the show notes. So check out Jehan's website and his coaching services and his podcast, so you can tune in to all of the awesome conversations that are happening. Jehan, thank you so much for being on the pod again. I'm so grateful we got to connect and chat. It went by so fast. It's 4:44 here, right on the dot.
All right.
There we go. And for all of the star seeds out there who are resonating with this conversation, check out the link below also for our new merch. We just launched star seed and cosmic and spiritual merch at Star Family Wisdom, and I'm super excited to sport some of it. I don't have any of it on today, but I will soon. So check that out. All right. Bye, everyone. We'll see you in the next episode. Have an awesome week. Thanks for being here, Jehan.
Thank you.